Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dude, he's top tier. You know, if it's not with his arm, it's with his legs. You know, that dude can do literally anything he wants. So definitely different skill set for me. I can't do half of what he does when it comes to running the ball and any of that. And then with how he can just chuck a ball down the field, you know, with how far and the arm strength that he has, you know, he's supreme when it comes to that. So it's going to be fun. Get to see him, get to play him again, and we'll see him.
Tua Tagovailoa on Josh Allen. Can't do half the things he does. I mean, he's self-aware and a bit self-deprecating maybe there, but, right? I mean, he can't run like Josh. We know that. Doesn't have the arm strength of Josh. I actually don't think Tua's a bad quarterback. I know. I'm here on radio in Buffalo. Ah, Tua, haha, he stinks. Like, I just think that they don't protect him well, and you have to protect him well because he is not the most mobile guy, number one, and he's the kind of guy that fits. Now, I'm not saying he's just a system quarterback, but he does fit the system that Mike McDaniel would run, and that's not working right now because they don't have the kind of offensive line that they need, and their receivers aren't getting open right away either, and teams have taken away that first read. That's what he is. I think Tua's a fine quarterback. I don't think that necessarily he deserves the kind of money contractually compared to the other quarterbacks he's getting, but that's the game you play when you have one that's good, and if you don't pay him, you don't have one at all. But he's not wrong there in what he says about his own comparison to himself and Josh Allen. 803-0550 is the number to call. It is Miami week. It's Miami week. Means a lot to a lot of people, right? Means a lot to a lot of people going way back a long time ago. Miami week became a thing when I was a kid. Miami week in the 80s. Maybe it was Miami week in the 70s. Because I know that Miami was beating the Bills in the 70s all the time. Joe, let me tell you how this started. A little history lesson. Okay?
Yeah.
Break out the history books. Do people use history books anymore? Like, my son, he's in 7th grade, and I'm like, He might bring home a book once in a while. I'm like, yeah, but like that's kind of weird because the rest of your stuff is online. They do so much online now.
Mm-hmm.
Go online and do your homework. He'll come home and I'll be like, you have homework to do? Yeah. All right, well, where is it? Well, I got to get on the computer. Was that you too?
No, so my like senior year of high school, that was the first year they started giving Chromebooks to us or like, you know, the laptops. So I was on the edge of that being normal, but COVID was my senior year of high school, so it ended up being
That sucks. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's okay.
So they don't, I mean, there is a textbook at the house though, and I'm like, do you need this textbook? He's like, nah, I don't know, not right now. And I'm thinking, if that was me and I had my textbook at my house, I better bring it the next day or I'm in trouble. Right? Like, whichever social studies teacher I have in 7th grade, 8th grade, like, I'm in trouble if I don't bring that textbook to school the next day. I'm seeing that textbook. He's like, yeah, down the road I might need it, but everything's online now. So I'm going to break out the old textbook because we're going to talk history between Dolphins and Bills here. So basically, you know, Buffalo Joe was a really, really thriving city for much of like the back in the early 1900s, like a very, very popular city for people to live in, an industrial city. Because of a lot of reasons, manufacturing, and especially because of Lake Erie and the Erie Canal and how they could ship things. And Buffalo was a thriving city, like a top city in population in America, right? Early 1900s. And in the more middle type of 1900s, it became a really big steel city. And Buffalo was putting out steel a lot. Bethlehem Steel is a really popular place that a lot of people worked. In fact, at one time, Bethlehem Steel was one of the largest employers in the nation for people. People lived here, Lackawanna, right? You drive down there, you know all about Bethlehem Steel. And the point I'm making is, like, during that time period, Buffalo was thriving. It was doing great. But then, basically, like, the interstate system came in, and it kind of mitigated what was needed from shipping. You can get things faster. So Buffalo kind of became a city where, well, you didn't need to settle there anymore, and people kind of bypassed it now because you had the interstate system. So it wasn't like a place like it was before the roads. So it started to lose a little bit of its luster and decline, but they still had the steel. Well, in the 1970s, basically, Bethlehem Steel, because of the price of steel, because of the cost, because of shipping and everything, Bethlehem Steel started to basically shut down plants. And as we know, you know, today it's nothing like it used to be, and it's not even called that anymore. And many, many people in the 1970s, and I use that as an example of one industry and one place, but a lot of industries in Buffalo. We had a firm called Trico here, and people could tell me, well, they still exist and these things, but
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They were making wiper blades. Like, I remember dads that, you know, worked there and lost their jobs. There were a lot of places like that in Buffalo. And what I'm telling you is, the 1970s was a tough time in Buffalo. A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people left the city. It was really, you know, not nearly the thriving place. And I remember growing up, it was the 35th largest television market. And now it's in the 50s and 60s. Like, you know, it became a smaller city.
Mm-hmm.
At that same time, Joe, the Dolphins were kicking the Bills' ass every year. They're beating them every single time they played. At the exact same time this was happening to Buffalo, right?
Right.
So what happens in your life is, probably all of us now, when things are going bad in one realm and things are going bad in another, you kind of tie those things together in your brain, right? Oh my God, I can't get anything right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the Dolphins became like this symbol of this frustration and never being able to get it done, and how things were going poorly. It became that symbol for a lot of people in Buffalo. Like, okay, yeah, this sucks. And then maybe we have our football team. No, because that team over there keeps beating us all the time, right? And, you know, the Bills weren't that great in the 70s. They had a couple moments, hot moments, but they became this symbol. And then in 1977, we had the famous blizzard of 77.
Right.
And people died. And it was like this first real famous blizzard that we ever had here. That every night on national TV, Joe, for like a week, people talked about Buffalo, look at this snow, it's terrible. Who would want to live there? Oh my God, people are dying. And they became the butt of jokes. And all of that frustration. Now it's like you're losing your population, you're losing that people are unemployed, and the blizzard of 77 is people making fun of Buffalo. Like, Buffalo became the butt of jokes because of weather and because of their football team being bad for many years, I'm sure, in some realm as well. But it was just all at once. And you could imagine that frustration building up, right? And how that would be kind of just all encompassing, geared towards this Miami Dolphins team that beat you 20 straight times and won Super Bowls and went undefeated in 1972. And that's where a lot of the frustration came in. And that's why in 1980, when the Bills beat the Dolphins, this goalpost came down. The goalpost came down after week one, dude.
I've seen all those videos. It's
amazing,
insane.
Right?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for it. But, folks, I'm telling you, I remember being 7 years old, 8 years old, going to a football banquet at Pop Warner, Cheektowaga Little Loop, I played. And we would have old Bills current Bills at that time. Fred Smirlis, Jim Haslett, Eugene Marv. I mean, Lucius Sanford. These guys would come in. Joe Ferguson. And they'd be like, oh, meet the Buffalo Bills. And people would meet them, be great. And they'd be like, oh, let's ask them questions. And I'm not kidding you, Joe. Like, half the room would be like, when are you guys going to beat the Miami Dolphins? Or how much do you hate the Dolphins? Or why is Don Shula on the competition committee and everything seems to go his way every time there's a close call? It was just, everything was about the Dolphins. That's how much it grew in everybody who was young like me to just think about, oh my God, like, yeah, you got to hate the Dolphins. And that's why the Dolphins are this team for the Bills. And then they hit Dan Marino. And Jim Kelly says, I ain't going to Buffalo. I'm going to the USFL. Same year. Oh my God, they got this incredible quarterback. He's amazing. And our guy doesn't even want to come here. But then it flipped, right? 86, Kelly comes. He starts beating Marino.
Mm-hmm.
Bills get Levy. He starts beating Shula. And the script flips. And it was just, it was delicious. So delicious all the time. And you just reveled in it and enjoyed it. And now we're holding you back from what you want. And I still believe, I think to this day, Levy's the only coach with a winning record over Don Shula throughout his career. And then they played a playoff game here and the Bills beat him in the snow. Yeah, come up here. You don't know snow. We know snow. Then they played a AFC championship game in Miami. Going to Miami, who cares? We'll beat you. Then we're going to take over your damn stadium too. And that's still today, by the way, right?
It is. That holds strong today. Yeah.
And then you had Brian Cox. Comes out of the tunnel, giving Bills fans a double bird. Has a fight with Carwell Gardner, gets thrown out. There's accusations all over the place from both sides. I mean, that's what a rivalry is supposed to be. That's why Miami Week matters here to people like me. Yes, I know the New England Patriots beat the Bills many straight years with Tom Brady, with Bill Belichick. I totally understand why anybody would say, Sal, I don't care. It's all about the Patriots losing. Totally get it. It was also delicious inside that stadium when the Bills had the perfect game against the Patriots for all those reasons. But I will never, ever, ever have any team in my life come over the top and supersede what Miami Week means to Buffalo and the Bills. And tomorrow night is the last time this team is ever coming to this freaking stadium. After all that. And they're a disaster right now. And it's up to the Buffalo Bills tomorrow night to make sure they go home a disaster. Back after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.